Well, I'm going to share with you this morning what the Holy Spirit's given me. And he really started on me a few weeks before the end of last year. And so the title of my message is today, so that we have a title, is Walking in Victory. So if you're taking notes, we're going to call it Walking in Victory. And God started giving me that word about 2 weeks before the end of the year, victory. Victory. Okay, victory. So, Laurie, I shared with Laurie, and she goes, I'm in agreement. 2024, we have victory. It's not that we're going to have victory. We already have it, y'all. But see, that's one thing that we've got to start understanding is we've already been given it, but what are we doing with it? Amen? John 10:10. I love this verse. And it's interesting because people a lot of times read the first half of this verse, but they don't finish reading the verse. Because, I mean, it tells us what the devil does. The devil comes but to steal, kill, and destroy, right? That's right. Hey, that's his job. That's all he does. Now, some people think he comes to kill us physically, but not necessarily. He can kill your dreams if you let him. He can steal a relationship. He can kill you by your health. He can make you sick if you let him. See, because that doesn't come from God. Remember, Pastor Corey, everything good is from God. Everything bad is from the devil, right? Right. So we have to remember that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want you to have a thing. He wants you to be so messed up that you don't know which way is up. The good side of this verse, though, John 10:10, is the back end of it. Jesus says, though, I came so that you would have life and life more abundantly. Amen. See, the way Ricky reads sentences is that it says, the devil came but to steal, kill, and destroy, comma, but that just negated everything the devil said. Amen. Oh, somebody ought to holler at that. Man, because that but just negated everything the devil said he was going to do. But I came so that you would have life and life more abundantly. Now, I've researched this word before, but I went back and did it again because I wanted to make sure that it was still accurate. I mean, you know, the Bible hadn't changed, and so I just wanted, you know, checking it out, testing things out. It still means it. It means abundantly. That word means more than enough. Have you ever asked yourself the question, too, what's more than enough? Y'all ponder on that this afternoon. You stop and think, what is more than enough? Because you probably can't answer that. No. See, more than enough, more abundantly, abundantly means beyond measure. Do y'all realize beyond measure? You know, we have all the new technology stuff. This is something that all the new technology stuff, you can't measure something that's beyond measure. Can you? No, you can't. See, because it's of God. When it's of God, there is no what he can't do. God can do everything beyond measure. He came so that we would have health beyond measure. Who wants better health in 2024? Amen. That's right. Or hey, you want a better finances, or you want a better job, or you whatever, God can do that. Because it says, Jesus, I came so that you'd have life more abundantly. Amen. See, quit letting the devil convince you that he can steal, kill, and destroy from you. That's the whole deal, is that we give the devil due, and we shouldn't. He creeps in, he sneaks in, and then before we know, like, you know what, it's kind of like, how many of you ever fished before? Yeah, most of you fished. And you've seen those open-faced reels, them old spinning reels, you know? And like, when you throw that, if you don't thumb that just right, you have what they call a backlash. And it's like a bird's nest. See, that's what the devil does. He sneaks in and he gets that like that before you ever know it if you let him. Amen? I want you to hear John 10 and 28, verse 28, 29. Jesus, my Father, who has given them to me. My Father has given them to Jesus. This is Jesus talking, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. Somebody would say amen to that. That's right. It just says that no one can snatch you, me, out of his hand. Doesn't it make you think of that? He's got the whole world in his hand. Come on, y'all. Right? They can't snatch you out of his hand. Isn't there peace in that? See, if we look at what Pastor Corey prayed over us last week and that we declared last week, peace and prosperity. This is what gives us that peace that we know passes all understanding, because we understand God's got us in the palm of his hand. Is it you that chooses to look over the edge of that hand? Or are you staying in the palm of his hand? Amen? Amen. See, one thing that we've got to realize, I've never been in the military, but I've planned things. If you've ever you've done a business plan, or you've done plans to build something, so what we have to understand is that if we're going to walk in victory, you have to know what the enemy's going to do before he does it, right? Yeah. So the first thing we're going to talk about this morning is knowing the tactics of the devil. Amen? See, Pastor Corey talked about a month ago about there's three things that the devil uses: deception, distraught, and distraction. Right? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get more specific today. More specific. And we're going to take out four of those things that we're going to dig into what they would look like. The first one is called fear. Now, in the Bible, it's in there. It says, don't be afraid 110 times or more in the Bible. That must be pretty important, huh? Don't be afraid. But yet what happens when we start struggling? We get in fear. We forget. See, we remember that we have Jesus. And if you are saved, then you know that you're going to heaven, right? So we don't fear that. We know we're going to heaven. But see, we forget about the middle part. The middle part. That's us still being here. We haven't got there yet. Amen? We were talking about that on stage this morning. And about how things, as a Christian, it makes you so mad because of the way the world's getting, and you want to stand up and just get in somebody's face. But you can't. That's not the way we're supposed to do it. There's a way to stand up, but it's the right way to stand up. And we have to understand that. You know, okay. Beep. Sorry, can't say that. Back up. So what we have to understand is that if we are to model Christianity, and it's like Joni said, we were talking, the ones that act the ugliest are the ones that don't believe in God. All these people that are, man, if you watch them on TV, they're screaming at you. They're hollering at you. And you just want to go, you know what? I've had enough. I've had enough. And as my wife says, you just like to throat chop them. Right? But I don't let her. I keep her on a pretty tight leash. No, I don't. Y'all laugh. That was a joke. Okay, come on, help me out, guys. But what you have to understand is we have to keep ourselves on a tight leash. That better? Thank you. What we have to understand is that now is the time for us to stand up. Amen? And we can stand up to those people and still love them, because the Word says to love our enemy. Amen? You know what happens? Have you ever noticed that when you are nice to people, when they're ugly to you, have you ever noticed what happens to them? They don't know what to do. They're like, they're just crawling all over you and go, yeah, It's okay. It'll be fine. You're good. It's all good. And they're still, they don't know what to do because they're not getting. This is what the devil wants. The devil wants a reaction from you. The devil wants me to react in the throat chop. But it's not going to happen. Because I understand the tactic of the devil. The first one is fear. See, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, he didn't give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of sound mind, of power, of love. That's what we lean into. That's what we lean into. When you get a bad report or the bank account doesn't look right or the job's not going right and you start getting in fear about, am I going to have a job or I can't find a job or I am sick. The doctor said this and this and this and this and this is what it happens. But yet, we have the power of a sound mind. That's what he gave us. Are you choosing to use the power of your sound mind? Amen? Second thing, the tactic of the devil. Oh, this is one of his best ones. This is one of he likes to trick you with. His lies. His lies. In John, Jesus says that he is a liar and he is the father of all lies. He starts telling you things like, oh, you know, if God loved you, really loved you, he would do this or he would do that. If God loved you, why did he let that baby die? No. That's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. But we get caught up in that, and if you're not careful, people that you around that talk that way, you go with them. You understand what I'm saying? You get caught up in what somebody else is saying instead of standing up and saying, oh, time out. We don't think that way. And if you proceed to talk that way, that's fine. That's your belief. I'm out. See, instead of standing there and allowing them to have place to say that kind of lies, because if you're standing there and you stay there, to me, that's a form of I'm kind of agreeing with you if I'm just going to stand here and take it. Instead of going, no, that's not the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't say that. If you want to hear what I've got to say, fine, I'll tell you. If not, I'm out. See, those kind of lies are the most dangerous lies. Those lies are that when something happens, the devil starts lying to you and saying, there's no answer for what you need. There's no answer. You're broke. You ain't got no money. You ain't going to make no money. You can't replace that car. There's no help. Blah, 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 blah. That's what the devil's saying. And if we're not careful, what do? That lie, see how they go together? When the devil starts lying to you a little bit, then all of a sudden you kind of get that, uneasy. You start getting nervous, you know? And then you start, that fear, then all of a starts coming on. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You're going to remember that he's the liar. He is the father of all lies. And that he's lying to you. Because my God is bigger than all of that. He's already proved it. But see, we forget about, and we just remember, thou shalt, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. We forget about the more abundant part. Because we get so caught up in ourself, instead of are we walking what God wants us to walk. See, when I'm in the Word, I heard a pastor say this about somebody one time, said he thinks he's 10 foot tall and bulletproof with Jesus. Well, but he also gave us Christians a brain, too, and we're not supposed to check brain at the door and realize we're supposed to have wisdom in how that we use this word, too. We're not invincible, but we have Jesus. But we have Jesus. Amen? Third thing. This is another tactic. Temptation. Temptation. See, the devil tempts you. He finds an area that you're weakest in. And that's where he starts tempting you. That's where he starts tempting you. Oh, You like to gamble. Oh, we're going to tempt you over here and tempt you over here. And oh, you like to drink. Well, here, let's just really take that. Because if anywhere that you have a weakness, that's where the devil's going. He don't mess around. And it may be so subtle. So, here, I'll tell y'all, I've told this years ago, but I haven't told it in a long time. And it's about, when I was on the road playing music a long time ago, I started having panic attacks. If you ever had a panic attack, don't. It ain't fun. It's the most real thing I've ever experienced in my life as far as you think you're sick and you're not. And I can speak to that. I was on the road one night. We had just finished a gig. We'd loaded the bus and we were heading home. And I thought my throat was swelling shut. Scared me. Oh, my gosh. We pulled over in a small town. They called 911. There wasn't even a hospital in that town. And the EMS came and they checked me out. And they said, well, you know, don't really see anything. They said, we can take you. And I said, nah, we're going. So, you know. So I kind of shook it off. A few days later, he came back with a vengeance. I would go leave my house to go get on that tour bus to go play. And I'd get on the interstate and I'd have to turn around and go home. And I'd go home and get in a hot bathtub. And I'd put water up around my throat. And that was the most safe place for me at the time. This was in the early 90s, late 80s. It was before I was in the Word like I am now. It got so bad, I went to the doctor. They told me to come in. They thought I was having an allergic reaction. You know what they do with you when they think you're having an allergic reaction to something? They give you a shot of pure adrenaline. Not the EpiPen, you know, you do that thing for allergies and it's in your thigh. They gave me pure adrenaline right in the vein of my arm. Holy cow. I was on the roof of that place. Well, then the doctor apologized because he decided it wasn't an allergic reaction. So they gave me a shot of Valium in the vein again. So I was, woo, woo, for about 3 days. I didn't know where I was at. We'd had a wreck when I was a kid. And it's before you wore seatbelts. I flew up and hit the back seat of the car with my throat. And so it had made a feeling in it. It was not damage or anything, but anything they could fix or see, really. But it was like somebody pressed against my throat all the time. And so when the devil started attacking me, that's where it would attack. And finally one day, I pulled on Interstate 20, and I started driving to meet the bus, and I pulled over. And I said, God, I cannot do this anymore. I have tried to do it on my own. But you get it now. I'm done with it. If I'm supposed to die, I'm dead. Just take me. I'm ready. Whatever, but I can't do this. And you know what? From that day forward, I got better and better. Every once in a while, I have a little, and I go, devil, I know that trick, baby. I got you. You get back under my feet. But see, the devil tempts us where the weakest. He tempts us, and then he lies to us, and then we get in fear. See, that's those three things happened right then. And I was no more aware of what was going on than anything, other than I was scared. The fourth thing, pride. Oh, my Lord. Pride. Proverbs 6, God calls it an abomination to him. That pride is an abomination to him. Listen to me. Pride is, we've all had pride. It's what pride you're talking about. See, when you talk about just what I told you, for somebody that has been tempted by the devil, well, then they lie about the temptation when they're doing it. And then they get in fear that they're going to get caught. Or it's just going to get worse and worse. And worse, see, that's pride not admitting to what I'm doing or what the devil's doing. Pride is that I can fix myself. I don't need his help. Amen? That's pride. You know what pride is? It's not admitting any of those that we just talked, the first three we talked about. You see, pride is not admitting that I have that. I've dealt with that. That's what pride is. 1 John 5. I want y'all to hear this out of the Passion. Hallelujah. First John 5, y'all find it. When we talk about those things, we have to remember John 10:10. The devil comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But we remember that other part that says, Jesus said, I came so that you would have life and life more abundantly. Listen to 1 John 5 in the Passion. Verse 4. You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Amen. Woo! Wait, did y'all not hear that? Let me read that again. You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Amen. Yeah. See, our faith in God, in the last part of John 10:10, do you believe Jesus came? Do you believe Jesus came so that we would have life and life more abundantly? Amen. Then see, our faith triumphs over lies, temptation, over fear, over every stinking thing the devil throws at you. Why don't we start walking in that instead of walking in letting him use his little tactics on us? Oh, and thank you, Holy Spirit. This is one tactic that he uses that we don't catch sometime. He uses people that you know to come against you. And they'll do it to your face. And we miss it sometime. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Oh, no, they wouldn't. Oh, no, they're nice people. No, we just have to learn to discern. You know what I'm saying? See, that's what our faith is. Our faith overcomes the world, and it overcomes, and we triumph. Well, if you want to be triumphal, then we have to learn that we walk in John 10:10, the second half of that verse. I really wasn't going to preach John 10:10 the whole time, but hey, it works. Okay, so I got four things. I'm closing. I'm starting early to close, but maybe I'll get there by then. Four steps to victory. Everybody say victory. Say, I have victory in Jesus. Yeah, say Jesus like that. Amen. That's right. Man, put some Texas in there. Some Jesus. Man, when you talk to the devil, say, no, I've got Jesus. Get out of my face, devil. That's right. See, that's where you can stand up, and that's how that you stand up and you can do the throat chop the devil. Yeah. That's okay if you do that to the devil. You know, devil, I'll throat chop you. I don't do it near as good as my wife, man. All right. First step, make the decision, I will not be defeated. You have to make that decision. You want to confess that. I will not be defeated. Say it. I will not be defeated. That's right. Turn to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Romans 8. And I'm going to have you read. Yeah, I've got a scripture for each one of these, and I want you to read them. Because you need to have them down. You need to write them down. During the week when you don't feel victorious, read these. Say, I'm victorious, dadgummit. Devil, you go back to your little box where you belong. Romans 8, verse 37. It's one that we know. But I want you to read it. It says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. See, it's time that we start acting that way. It's time that when something comes against us that the devil's throwing out there, that you don't have to get in the pity party. that you don't have to start whining and moaning to other people, and that you start standing up for yourself, and you say, no, 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 devil. I have victory over you. That's what my word says. That's what my Jesus says, and that's what I'm going to do. You are not coming against me. You're not coming against my family. You're not coming against my church family. I will not allow you to touch anyone in my life in Jesus' name, so I command you to go back to hell where you belong. You can speak to the devil that way, and if we had learned to start speaking to him, we'd quit having as many problems in our life. I guarantee you. It's time that we get fired up. Sorry, y'all, I'm fired up. If you can tell, Ricky's more fired up than he normally is. Because I'm tired of the devil winning against my friends. I'm tired of the devil having his way with my family. You know what? And by golly, I can get mad and I can tell the devil, I've had enough. I'm victorious over you, and I'm going to be victorious now and forever in Jesus' name. He says so right there. I'm more than a conqueror. The second thing is to make your stand in the goodness and grace of God. Make your stand in the goodness and grace of God. Turn to Galatians 5. It's to the right a couple of chapters. Maybe three. Galatians 5, 1. Galatians 5, 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Hallelujah. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In the Amplified, it says, in this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast, then, and do not be hampered and help ensnared and submit once again to a yoke of slavery. See, God's made us free from disease, from sickness, from all the junk the devil can bring. He's already freed us from that. Why do we keep taking it back? Come on. Start putting your foot down saying, devil, I ain't taking your crud no more. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. The third thing, give your attention to God's word. Give your attention to God's word. What does that mean? It means to start meditating on God's word. Get in the word. That's about that song this morning, y'all. I have decided to follow Jesus, okay? How do you know Jesus if you don't read the Word? You don't? I mean, you know who He is, and He died for me on the cross, but that's all I got. No. When you start reading that Word, it'll start building you up, going, oh, wow, Jesus did that for me? Oh, my gosh. I'm going to follow Him. I have decided I'm going to do what it takes to follow Jesus Christ because He's my Lord and Savior. He has died for me. He rose from the dead. He sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for me. Whoo! Man, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Yeah, come on, y'all. If we're going to fight the devil, some of y'all are going to have to fire up a little bit more. You know what? I mean, y'all are sitting there, and I mean, y'all are smiling. That's all pretty and well. Man, we're going to fight the devil. You should be shouting and hollering. Devil, you don't want none of this. Amen? No. That's right. But it's time that we not just talk about it. See, I like that. What Corey always said, that one story he always tell, one of my favorites. About Maw-Maw. That just cracks me up. Because Corey says that when he was little or younger, his one grandma would say, now, Corey, if you talk to the devil, don't say it very loud. And he said, well, why, Maw-Maw? And he said, he might hear us. No. I want the devil to hear me and say, I'm tired of you messing with my family. I'm tired of you messing with me. I'm tired of you messing with my friends. I'm tired of you messing with the church and the people that I love. It is time that you go back where you belong. Come on, y'all. Right? But you have a choice. Tomorrow, I'm not going to be there hollering at you, trying to fire you up in the morning in the backseat of your car. I know as much as some of y'all would love to have me there. Right, and going, come on, Ricky, pat me up some more, please. It's Monday. A coffee's not working. Come on, Ricky, fire me up. I know, but just think about it tomorrow, okay? When you get in that car or wherever you're doing tomorrow, think about Ricky hollering at you, firing you up, okay? Okay, let's get ready because we're going in the real world tomorrow. And you're going to see the devil at every turn. You are. When you start seeing all that, which Pastor Corey said this for, so I can say it. All that crap going on out there, right? When you see everything going on, you know it's from the devil. Man, I've seen some of the pictures of some of these young people nowadays. Whoa. No wonder they think they're a furry or a whatever. I mean, I can't even. I don't mean that wrong, but it baffles me. The older I get, it baffles me. And you can look at them and bless their heart. It's what we talked about. It's a tactic of the devil. He's lied to them. Amen? He's tempted them to try something different than what the Bible says, and they did. See, and they're in fear because, you know why they're scared? Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know why they're in fear? Because they're afraid that we're right. See, they're afraid that we're right and they're not. And we are and they're not. Because that's what my word says. Amen. But see, that's the whole deal. And that's why they act and they come against us like they do. It's because they're afraid that we're right and they don't know what to do and how to. All you got to do is say, God, please forgive me. I messed up. And you know what he does? We all know. He says, done. It's forgotten. Come on back. And he'll hold his arms out there, and he'll hug you. You know what? And you may be struggling with something today, and you may be doing stuff you ain't supposed to do. All you got to do is say, God, forgive me. And he'll wrap his arms around you, and he will love you. And say, welcome back. Welcome back, girl. Glad to have you. Welcome back, brother. See, he'll love on you. He'll love on you. Fourth thing, I'm closing. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. We can kill every blessing that God's ever bestowed on us if we don't watch what comes out of our mouth. Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So true. So true. You can show people that. You can show people that, and they still don't get it. Oh, that's a coincidence. No such thing. I don't believe in coincidences. It's always what we talked about. Somebody says, oh, I think I'm getting a cold. Guess what? They'll have a cold tomorrow. Guarantee it. I am not getting a cold. I don't have cedar fever. I don't have allergies. And I speak that every day. Do I have the symptoms? Some of them. But I'm healed in Jesus' name. That's what comes out of my mouth. I pull into a parking lot and I get a parking spot up close. I didn't even pray for it, but it was there. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to walk 2 miles to get to the door. What's coming out of your mouth? See, that's what beats. Because what you say then gives access to the devil. Did you know that? When you say something like, I think I'm getting a cold, and the devil starts them lies, he goes, yeah, I think you are. You don't feel very good. Yeah, you're not feeling good, are you? Yeah, it's got a little scratchy throat, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. This devil does it. And you know what? By the next day, you probably got a sore throat, and you're needing to go to the doctor, and you know, seen it too many times because you opened that door to the devil, and that's where he's going. That's where he's going. Amen? James 4:7, and I'll close. It's the third one, wasn't it? Okay, good. James 4:7. Remember this, y'all. Remember this. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. He has to. That's what the word says. I could drop the mic at that point. Because that's what it is. Submit to God. Have you, you know, I submit to God. No, why do you submit to God every other day? Or no, you have to submit to God all the time. And no, it's not easy. But do you choose to walk in the world or do you choose to walk in victory with Jesus? I choose to walk in victory. I choose to have victory over my life. See, because I can't control anybody else. I can control Ricky. And sometimes that's a full-time job. Some of y'all probably agree. Yeah, you probably are. That's what Jesus says. He's looking down. And it's okay because I'm only supposed to be responsible for me. How I handle things. How I react to things. What am I doing in my life? I don't have to admit it to my wife or to my pastor or to anybody else. You've got to admit it to God. Amen? God, I need your help. And he'll do it. So if that's where you're at today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we never close a service without giving someone the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if that's you today, then I want you to make today your God day. We're not going to embarrass you with every head bowed and every eye closed. We're not going to make you do anything silly. That was something else we were talking about in band this morning, is that, you know, the way things are going nowadays, it could be, like, really depressing if you let it. And you know the world's going to get worse. If you've read the Bible at the end, if you've read the end, we win. But there's some junk going to happen in the end. But as Christians, we can make that junk right with us. It's how we do things. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I beg you to do it right now. It's our job to get other people saved, y'all. That's what we do until Jesus comes back, is we get other people to the Lord. So if you've never accepted Jesus right now, I beg you. We're going to pray a prayer out loud with every head bowed and every eye closed out of respect to other people. That if you've never accepted Jesus, we're going to say this prayer out loud, and I want you to say it with me today. But we're going to have believers that are there sitting next to you, behind you. They're going to say it out loud too because we've got to get this in our hearts. So right now, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, say it out of your mouth. Say it like this. And believers, say it with us. Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. Father God, I thank you that you have forgiven me of all my sins. I believe Jesus died on that cross, and he rose from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. Father, I thank you that from this day forward, I have victory in my life and in Jesus. Before we say amen, if you just gave your life to the Lord, if you said that prayer for the first time, I want you to, on the count of three, get your hand up. I'm going to acknowledge you. Put it right back down. We'll get you a Bible. But don't be shy or bashful about it. See, Jesus said, if you'll acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. So with every bit of boldness, on the count of three, I want you to get that hand up. One, two, three. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. I see you there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? We're going to get you a Bible. Praise you, Father. All right, y'all, look at me. We got two new sisters in Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. Man, if you just gave your life to the Lord and you live around here, we'd love to have you come to church. Find you a church, good Bible-believing church you can grow and plant in. That's what our pastor says, and we'd love to have you here. Howdy, are you ready to take this horse to the barn?